Hello, and welcome to the Adult Gamer Community Podcast. I'm Mellified, and I'm joined in hosting duties today by the esteemed Fenrir765 and the man who has never met a beer he didn't want to drink, Hoptimus. Our community guest host tonight is coming home from her multi-city tour of Texas. Yes, it's Tamzilla. Guys, I have to apologize. I sound like I've got my nose clogged with snot, and because that's what's going on. Other than my medical drama, Fenrir, how are you doing tonight?
I mean, we've had a handful of medical things go on. I mean, a couple weeks ago I had a flu, so I'm doing well. I'm excited. I have one more day with students and then a teacher work day, and I'll be on summer vacation, so life is only sunshine and rainbows for me going forward.
So teacher work day is when you bust out the margarita machine. Is that, am I reading that correctly?
It's when I open my bottom drawer full of whiskey and I just pound it. So, no, it's, I am so thankful for the end of the school year. It's been a rough one, but, Hop, what's, how things with you?
Going good. Enjoying the heat. Finally got here to Arizona. I was able to get in my pool. I'm excited about that. It was kind of a strange, unorthodoxly cool May, which doesn't normally happen here. I'm not complaining. It was just weird. I'm excited because some good games coming out for the summer and E3 coming up. So I'm excited to get rolling. What about you, Tam? What's going on?
I'm not happy about the return of the heat. I'd like it to stay in the 70s, but and I wouldn't mind going back to Texas. I'm just saying that right now. But other than that, life's good. I don't teach, so no summers off for me. Boo. And I would also like a drawer full of whiskey, if you don't mind. That's about it.
Come on over. I'll share.
I know you would.
Well, I'm glad that everybody's doing well tonight. We curated some news stories for everybody to kind of peer through, and everybody's picked something that they like. So I'm going to start with Hop and tell us what's going on in the world of video games.
Well, there's been a trend of various manufacturers releasing miniature, awesome versions of their consoles, retro style. You had the NES Mini, and then they came out with the Super NES Mini. And then we had that PlayStation Mini. That one was not so good. But Sega's coming out with their Sega Genesis Mini. This time they've taken it away from AtPlay, who's done a couple various Genesis clone systems that have not been very good in, as far as emulation. This system is designed by Sega Japan with help from Sega of America. The emulation's being done by M2, who are a Japanese game studio who are like masters of emulation. Today they revealed the final, not just 10, but 12 games for a total of 42, so it has the most out of these mini systems. I'm going to give you guys, there's a bunch of classics, but I'm going to give you guys the highlights of this that if you're a fan of 16-bit games, you might want to grab. It's going to have Castlevania Bloodlines, the original Genesis version. It's going to have Comic Zone, which is a great game. Gunstar Heroes. Here's two I didn't expect to hear. Castle of Illusion with Mickey Mouse and World of Illusion with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, because those were licensed titles back in the day. They're phenomenal.
That's platform. Impressive.
Yeah. Thunder Force 3, one of the best shooters ever released on a home console. Super Fantasy Zone, another great shooter. Streets of Rage 2, classic. Earthworm Jim's going to be on here. Contra Hardcore is going to be on here. Here's one that's never been released on home card in the United States, only in Japan. It was on the Sega Channel. That's Mega Man The Wily Wars. It's a compilation of Mega Man 1, 2, and 3 with 16-bit style graphics. Let's see, Beyond Oasis, Phantasy Star 4, Into the Millennium was a great one. Wonder Boy and Monster World. Monster World 4, which hasn't been released in too many forms in English text. That's only recently got translated for the Genesis collection that's on the Xbox One and PS4. Notably missing on the Switch collection for some reason. The most interesting things that are coming out in this collection is the first time in any retro collection we're getting Road Rash 2, which is classic motorcycle action racing game. We are getting the ultra rarest of all Sega Genesis / Mega Drive carts, and that's the Mega Drive port of Tetris. There are only less than 10 known of this cartridge to exist, because as soon as it was printed, they had to pull it because of licensing issues. We're also getting a homebrewed port of the original Darius arcade shooter on the Sega Genesis. That's never been released, so that's like a unique release to this collection. But it's 42 great games. US version $79.99 comes with two controllers. You can also order the Japanese versions via your usual import places. I think PlayAsia has them. I went ahead and pre-ordered one at Best Buy for the US one, because I'm not going to go crazy with the import one. But it looks like a fun little machine. I'm having a ton of fun with the SNES Mini, and I think that my kids will have fun playing these games too.
I find it interesting that you have sort of this great value and great setup from Sega, and then Capcom recently had their home arcade release that only had like 10 games, I think, and it's a whole joystick. And so you have to buy like a full arcade stick with the home system.
Yeah, it's a double arcade stick, that Capcom one.
Yeah, and it's in the shape of the Capcom logo, which is just Capcom, the word. So it's bizarre how, like, we have such good hits with something like the Sega Genesis Mini, and then such misses, like a $300-something dual arcade stick for 10 old, you know, Capcom
16,
games.
16 classic.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
And so far, yeah, so far this thing looks like it's a UK release only. There's no US... official US release on that. I mean, it does have some stuff. That Capcom thing does have some stuff that's never been... there's never been a port of 1944. There's never been a port of Capcom Sports Club. Alien vs. Predator has never been ported to a home thing, period. I don't even know how they were able to re-get that license for that. Maybe because it's via emulation of the original game. Giga Wing, I think we did get a Dreamcast port of, so yeah. Pro Gear, there was never a home port of. So, there's some interesting games in that Capcom title, but yeah, it's kind of out of the price range of the normal consumer. The Sega seems to be going, attacking right, like almost like the 16-bit console war started all over again. They're going right after Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought it was a pretty cool click. The fact that they had that unique port of Tetris and Darius and some of those other classic games that haven't been released in a long time, along with a few that have been released on multiple collections. But yeah,
I guess the real question I have is, the cable for the controller more than 3 feet, or...
You know what though, it's USB, so even if it's not, you got a cheap solution.
They're using
straight up USB for the connectors.
They're not going the authentic route that Nintendo chose to go with.
Nintendo didn't even go the authentic route. Nintendo used their newer Wii U and Switch port connector.
It looks like
an authentic controller, but if they went all authentic on the Genesis, it would be a standard 9-pin input cable that the Atari used to use also. Those were like off-the-shelf parts that would work on any PCB that had those kind of connections.
Tam, were you a Genesis person at all?
No, not really, beyond some just maybe dabbling in Sonic or something like that.
Hey, that's a classic. You can't pass that up. Well, Hop, thanks for sharing about that. Mel, what do you got going on with this interesting game that just recently dropped?
Well, yeah, so Dauntless is a Monster Hunter clone that is a free-to-play MMO, and they recently came out of a extended... early access period on PC, and when they released the game on consoles, they were really proud of the fact that they had cross-platform play as well as cross-platform progression. And so they mentioned recently that of the people playing the game in the first month, 60% of the groups are taking advantage of cross-platform play. And I just thought this was such an interesting stat, because it just points to how big a deal cross-platform play could be if we had it, you know, more accessible. Interestingly, I saw an article today as well that the Ubisoft guys mentioned they are not planning a Rainbow Six Siege for next gen, but they are expecting to be able to do, they want to be able to do cross-platform play for Rainbow Six Siege. So, you know, it seems like there's a lot of momentum behind this, which I think is fantastic, because I really wish we were at a in a world where it doesn't matter what system I prefer, I can play with my friends, whatever system they have. So,
as the in Dauntless, is it like a matchmaking type situation that?
Yeah, I mean, you can you can do matchmaking, or you can play with your friends.
Okay, I'm just curious, like how if you're playing Dauntless with a PS4 person and you're on Xbox, like how do you seek that person out? Is there like an in-house?
You'd have to know their Dauntless name, account name, okay, character name.
All right. Either way, that's something that's hopefully gaining more steam, like you said. Last week, we had a really cool story about a developer doing something great for one of their fans is fighting in a battle with cancer that may not live through the year. Tam has an update for us regarding that.
Yeah, so this is probably my favorite bit of news, probably for the rest of the month, beyond what you guys, you know, said in the last podcast. But he actually got to name one of the guns in the game. So, and I forget what the name was, and I don't have the picture right in front of me. Maybe one of y'all have it in front of you.
I can
open it up.
It has his name in it. It was.
It does.
Something Treverton.
Slow ass computer.
It's the compressing Trevonator.
I love that.
There it
the
is.
Compressing.
And it's a shotgun.
I love it.
That has splash damage bonus and weapon charge speed, and you can switch between cryo and fire elements because they're going to have a toggle on the guns in Borderlands 2 or 3.
I'm guessing you all know what that means because I've never played Borderlands.
Oh my. You know what? I think you just have to get off the show right now. I think we're done. And
I'm done.
I'm now going to publicly shame you on the tag Discord and take your bags and don't ever come back.
I think Hop's personally going to lobby for your masonhood to be revoked.
That's right.
I wouldn't
Stripped
be surprised.
Of all privileges.
But, you know, I think what this article or this update made me think about was how much flack we see out there about, you know, violence in games and how it causes violence, which I think is a bunch of bullcrap anyway. But, you know, I really love hearing stories like this where the gaming community, gaming companies do good and pay it forward. You know, it just really touches me, and I just want to share it everywhere and just be like, you know, everybody needs to quit their judgy bullcrap.
Well, it's sensationalism stories. That's what gets clicks.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. It's cool. So cool.
It is a really cool thing. It's awesome that they got. I mean, he got a ton of swag too. They gave him like a whole bunch of really cool like Borderlands things that I'm assuming not many people will be able to get their hands on. So, I mean. They really treated him right, I feel like. And they gave him, I think, 4 hours of playtime on the game. He didn't obviously get to beat it, but he spoke very highly of the game. So I can't imagine, you know, you would speak too ill of it since you get a chance to play it much earlier than everybody else. But that's such a cool thing that Gearbox went ahead and did for him, considering the battle he's facing.
I have a random story about how awesome Take-Two, the publisher, and the Borderlands guys are. A few years ago, they did for the Handsome Jack collection, or the Handsome collection, they did a Gentleman Claptrap robot that you can actually pair to your phone and drive around. And at one point, they had a handful of them left over at the 2K store, and so they sold them, and I got one of the Xbox ones, and when I got the robot, he was defective, he didn't work. And so I'd emailed their customer service saying, like, hey, you know, I've got a bum robot. And they didn't have any more because they were clearing them out. That was the whole point of the sale. And so they actually went and found one on somebody's desk who donated it to me. And they sent it to me along with a Claptrap, Funko Pop, a Yahtzee, Borderlands game, and a couple other little things. Oh, yeah.
Why, oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah, they did this just because they felt bad that it.
What
taken
part of
them.
Texas are you in again? I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Get my car started right took, now.
It took them a couple months to get it all sorted out ultimately, and so
that's awesome.
Bad. And they went out of their way to like make sure you know I was taken care of. So I really, I have no trouble believing that they would go even further above and beyond for a fan losing their life like this. So that's super cool.
That's so awesome. What about, what do you got going on here, Finn?
Well, I figured, you know, there's a lot of news coming out this week and a lot of things that will be coming out over the next few days. I figured I'd just give everybody a quick update on the E3 conference schedule, the press conference schedule, as well as just kind of what's going on with E3. As many people sometimes can get confused with is E3 actually doesn't start till Tuesday, June 11th, but all the major developers and companies have their press conferences beforehand, which is really where all the news comes out of. But here's the conference schedule. I'm sorting them by day, then time, then company and time. So first up, we have on Sunday, June 9th at 4 p.m. All times are Eastern, by the way, is Microsoft. At 8:30 p.m. is Bethesda, and at 10 p.m. is Devolver Digital. Monday, June 10th, we have Ubisoft at 4 p.m. and Square Enix at 9 p.m. Tuesday, June 11th, Nintendo will have their Nintendo Direct at 11:30 a.m. EA, who is sitting out the traditional press conference this year, will have a series of live streams on many of their games. I think the one that most people are going to be looking forward to is Jedi Fallen Order from Respawn. But they're starting their live streams on Saturday, June 8th at 12:30 p.m. So, you know, Google it, look around the internet. You'll find many different schedules with your time zone in it probably. IGN has a pretty good list of all the different time zones and how to watch and when to watch. So if you need any help with that, you can go there. But I'm really excited for these press conferences, mainly the Microsoft, Bethesda, and Ubisoft conferences. So, yeah.
Devolver Digital's is not to be missed just from a humor standpoint. They,
yes.
They always have a lot of fun with theirs. Although I think you could watch it, not necessarily live. I'm curious to see, though, Microsoft is also starting the sale, their E3
yeah.
sale, here coming up on Friday, I believe. So that'll be interesting.
I posted a link to Discord. I know that one of the deals is the Xbox One X is going to be $100 off during that sale. So
that
if you
is a heck of a deal.
If you haven't upgraded to real-time 4K on the One X with HDR, now's the time.
Fenrir.
What? No. I'm saving my money for what my dream may be, which I'll talk about later. Anyways, yeah, we got a lot of really cool stuff happening with E3. Even though the conferences, like I think the press conferences will drop all the big news, I think it's kind of cool. We see a lot of like tiny games and different stories come out of E3 from different companies that may not be heard from yet. So it'll be kind of exciting to see what happens once the show gets rolling on Tuesday the 11th. But until then, we have some updates that are coming out on a couple games that we've talked about on the show. I'm going to let Mel and Hop kind of share about those.
Yeah, I'll do World War Z Hop if you want to take our next one after that.
Sure.
So World War Z has a Season 1 roadmap, and they are delivering their Tokyo map here in the Undead Sea update. They're also adding private lobbies and a whole bunch of bug fixes. The private lobbies, I think, were our biggest complaint with the game.
Oh, that's going to be so sweet.
Before. Yeah, so this is pretty exciting. And it is available now, so we need to get back and have some fun with this. It looks like you can disable bots or enable them in private lobbies as well. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, super exciting. Great little game, and a pretty bargain price at, I think, $40. So not too shabby.
And it's never too late to jump into World War Z with everybody, because there's lots of us that'll play it.
That's true.
I hope it goes on sale, like, next week. That'd be really
it
cool.
It might during that sale. That's actually a good idea to wait for that.
For sure.
Another game with an update, and this was one of, I think, all of our favorite games. I don't know if Tam played it, but I know we all really enjoyed the shit out of this game. Crackdown 3 gets an update, extra edition update. They are adding the Keys to the City mode, which they added to Crackdown 1 and 2. So it lets you, kind of like the old codes in the id classic PC games like Doom and Wolfenstein, you can pick God mode, Super Speed. There's a bunch of fun modes. It's kind of see if you can break the game. And there's achievements in these fun modes. Here's one, destroy 5 or more vehicles you've spawned within 5 seconds in a Keys to the City world. That's called pileup. Here's one, floor is lava. Using the jetpack, kill 30 enemies consecutively while in the air in Keys to the City world. So there's a bunch of fun ways to do it. And it's basically a fun way to play around with the campaign. It also adds stuff to Wrecking Zone. This may be too little too late. That now has a progression system of customizable adornments for your players. I don't know. If they patch the Wrecking Zone to actually play smooth, it may be worth going back to trying, but who knows. But Keys to City mode sounds fun, so I'll definitely be interested in checking that out if anybody wants to join me for some destruction.
I still need to beat that game.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
it kind of went by the wayside.
Too many other great games came out all
right, together. Look, everybody get off my show. That's it.
When did this become the Hop Show? Jeez.
It's been renamed already.
Da-na-na-na. Wait, I better not continue that music. We may get sued. All right.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, please don't get us sued. All right. So, Fenrir, I understand we have a community question.
Yep. Every show I try to come up with a new question from one of our Discord members, and all you got to do is send me a direct message and I will log it and I will pull it out of the proverbial hat and let your question be known to our hosts. I like to drop it live so that way they don't have time to think of an answer and we can get a raw, true feeling about what is being asked. This one comes from Hybrid Havoc. I hope you're enjoying your retirement. It's well deserved. And he asked us, Microsoft wants you to help make their Project xCloud a success. What is the one thing that you think they need to do to make that happen? I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over to Mel because I'm sure he already has all the perfect ideas.
It's funny because I've been using products like this for a long time. There was a service called OnLive that did PC games over streaming. I had one of their little mini console boxes and even bought a couple games through the service. They ultimately almost went out of business and then were bought up by Sony. Gaikai was another service that did this kind of thing that were also bought by Sony. And so I think xCloud, the biggest barrier is bandwidth. You know, even on a fast wired connection, sometimes it just seems like the internet it has trouble keeping up. And so, you know, maybe we will see that continue to improve. But I think Microsoft would have to have some pretty compelling data showing that, you know, hey, yeah, we've got enough people out in the U.S. or in the world that have fast enough connections for xCloud to really be successful.
What about you, Tam?
I honestly don't have a lot to say about that. I'm not that well versed, but as Mel was talking, I thought about the recent scare with Google. I think it was Google, with the cloud where like people who had the Nest and things like that, the doorbell, the door locks, the cloud went down, and they actually couldn't get into their houses.
And, oh my Lanta!
Yeah, so it's like, you know, but maybe you know, working on ways to prevent that sort of thing from happening. Of course, not as big of a deal when it comes to game access. Well, I mean, it is kind of a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but that's really all I think about that.
I had that happen to me one time where the power in my house went out, and I only get into my house through my garage, and couldn't open with the garage door opener. And I had to spend like 3 hours outside. I mean,
I had something similar, and I turned around and got a garage door opener that has a battery backup on it so that I can still open it if the power's out.
Smart. But
yeah, I've been there, brother.
I mean, it was enlightening just sitting in the driveway for about 3 hours. I didn't realize there were so many things happening in my neighborhood. I haven't been outside since, but you know, hey. Hop, what do you think about the xCloud? Yeah, what do you think it needs to have to be successful for you?
The possibilities are endless. I'll just reiterate a couple of things I know Mel and I have talked about. They have to do something that they can make those data packets so small that it'll work on any connection and work seamlessly. Cross-platform cloud saving would be amazing. Opening up the door along with this cross-platform play with cross saves would be freaking hot. I think that would be the bee's knees. And then, you know, being a semi-retro game fanatic, if they had a more open, I'm not going to say open, but if they were able to do more like consoleized emulation platforms in their ecosystem, that so instead of buying this Sega Genesis Mini, I could buy a virtual Sega Genesis emulator inside their cloud system. That would be cool, or whatever console choice. Those things would have me pretty excited about that. I think that would be awesome.
That would be pretty dope.
That's it for that I've got right now. I think if I sat and thought about it for like this, I'm starting to think so my mouth doesn't work. I could probably come up with some more. That's yeah. But I think definitely figuring out how to make the data flow no matter what the connection is and make it seamless would be the number one goal of the system. Whether somebody's on there's still a bunch of people that are on a really, really, really crappy like 256 SSDL line or a 1.5 ADSL line. Not everybody has a 300 meg cable line or higher. So, yeah. That's it.
I would have to say for me, I have to think about, one, it has to come out the gate working. I mean, outside of the maybe the initial like hiccups that every game and service seems to have on their launch, but within a week be rock solid and be a quality product from the start. And then two, I think that they have to get the pricing structure exactly correct, whether and not just like we have a solid monthly pricing plan, but something that's going to be along the lines of how they're doing like the Game Pass Ultimate thing with Xbox Live and Game Pass in one plan, you know, having that single plan for Xbox Live, Game Pass, and cloud at the same time, having the individual options if you want it, having the year-long options if you want those too. But I think that was one of the misses on Game Pass, that it took them way too long to get to that point where they offered both things together. And I think that's a super important thing.
I don't begrudge them for not combining them right away, just because I don't think they knew if Game Pass was going to work at first, right? It was a bit of a gamble for them to do it. That said, I'd agree that I think the pricing needs to be really rock solid. And one of the things I've really been wondering is if I buy a game from Microsoft digitally for full price, well, for whatever price, if I buy the game digitally, am I paying extra to play that game on Game Cloud, or do I have to only play Game Pass games on X Cloud? You know, there's a lot of questions there. Like, is it an add-on that I'm paying for to be able to play all my library in the cloud, or is it only select games that are in the cloud? So there's a lot of unanswered questions, I think. I'm curious to see what we get from E3.
Yeah, and, you know, one day we'll know. But as Hybrid asked, what's the one thing we need? And for me, that's price. So, Hybrid, thanks for asking the question. As usual, if you guys have any questions, don't hesitate to shoot me a DM. I got a few more from some newer people that I'll start peppering in the next few shows. I got some really good ones. And eventually I'll rotate back to Ubo and his 1 billion questions. You know, Borderlands has billions of guns. Ubo has billions of questions. Anyways, let's talk about what we're playing this week. And Tam, what has been tickling your video game fancy?
Well, that sounded kind of dirty the way you said it, but still playing Clash of Clans. pretty religiously back to that one. I've been playing Halo, Not Just Thursdays, in case, you know, we haven't been pumping that enough, Thursday night, Halo night. But I also play on the weekends with my husband. I started playing through the first Life is Strange, because I'd heard some good things about that, just when I feel like sitting there and doing pretty much nothing but hitting a few buttons here and there. And I just picked up Gears of War, the Ultimate Edition. We'll see how that goes.
So good.
B-Daddy was just telling me I should play Life is Strange.
Yeah, I remember seeing him playing that a lot when he used to actually get on Xbox.
It's an easy story so far.
I like Life is Strange. I think it does as good of a job of recreating sort of, you know, teen angst as a bunch of French guys can pull off. They wouldn't be my first choice, but they do a decent job of it. So it's a fun game for sure.
I'm just curious to play it to see what I'm going to get myself into for the future with my daughter.
Yeah.
You can just hit me up for some questions.
All right, Tam.
I've been a daughter and I've had a daughter, so I should say a teenage daughter, and I've had one. So fun times.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, hey Hop, how you feel about that?
I'm trying not to think about that. I got like 5 years, so cool to jets.
All right, then what are you playing, man?
Let's see. Well, Sith inspired me last week to start. I was like, oh yeah, I have some of those games I haven't finished, so played some Shovel Knight the other day, and then I remembered, you know what else I haven't played was Okami, and I actually had a lot of fun playing Okami.
I gotta get into that one.
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, it's a great, I don't want to say it's a clone of the Legend of Zelda games, but it feels a lot like Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time or Twilight Princess. It has that semi-open world with a little town here and there and a bunch of quests, and then you move on to the next area. It's got a neat mechanic with the ink brush strokes. It's probably more fun on the Wii with the Wiimote, but on the Xbox it's still fun using the D-pad to slash the strokes across. Still playing some Borderlands with various groups. We got one group playing the pre-sequel. I got another couple guys playing Borderlands 2. And then the new expansion for Elder Scrolls Online dropped today, the Elsweyr, which has dragons, which is cool. And it also added a necromancer class, which I went ahead and made and got him up to level 6 already. So that's pretty fun. I'm looking forward to going deeper into that game.
Yeah, it's also a 45 gig patch, which my hotel internet just laughed at me when I started downloading.
Yeah, mine's already installed.
Yeah, don't rub it in. It's fine.
What about you, fam? What have you been playing?
Well, I've actually toyed with the idea of picking up all the expansions to Elder Scrolls, but I just can't do it. I'm too far out of the game. But I've been playing the Surge, still plugging away at that. It's actually a little bit harder than I thought it would be.
The started Surge playing 2 just hit pre-order, I noticed.
Yeah, they announced it. It just went up for pre-order. They announced it a little while ago.
I missed that one completely. Wow. I thought Techland... No, Deck 13 is who did this game. I thought they were going to go to a different game, but... All right. Anyways, I'm working on it. It's a little harder than I thought it would be because it doesn't have some of the mechanics that I'm used to in like the Dark Souls games that I usually use a lot, but it's definitely fun. Void Bastards just released and dropped on Game Pass, and it's a roguelike first-person shooter, kind of meets BioShock, Doom, System Shock, all those kind of games kind of wrapped into a roguelike. It's fun, but I don't know if I'm going to get the whole experience out of it. I'm just got too much going on that I don't know if I'll go back to it regularly enough to beat it, but it's a cool little game. It's got a fun little charm and humor to it. And I won a bet on the Discord, and so a very kind and generous man purchased Guacamelee 2 for me. And... I actually am having a lot of fun in this game. I enjoyed the first one, and I can't wait to keep diving further into this one and seeing what kind of shenanigans I get myself into as a luchador in search of the guacamole that the gods eat. So,
so Hop, one thing that's kind of interesting, I've heard somebody describe this as the best Metroidvania ever, Guacamelee. I'm not sure I quite... would put it up on that pedestal, but it does excel at having 4-player online co-op, which is pretty
interesting.
Cool.
You know, I have the first one. I don't think I played it for more than a scant few minutes at the time. For whatever reason, it didn't grab me. I don't know if it was the art style. I don't know if I just wasn't feeling it, but I could reinstall it and check it out.
It's worth a try, especially we could play co-op. So
yeah, that might be kind of fun. I'm kind of picky with Metroidvanias. I realize this, that if it's not a certain feeling to it, I just won't play it.
Like, I still can't believe you haven't played Ori and the Blind Forest.
I haven't installed it. I just haven't gone around to it yet. And again, I don't know if that's something with the art style that's not clicking with me, but I will try.
All right. Well, I've been playing a Diablo 3 lookalike Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, how is that? I mean, when I saw the previews, I was like, that looks awesome. But they've been hit and miss with me, the current Warhammer games. Like, you know, Vermintide 1 and 2 were kind of okay. I didn't love them. They weren't bad, but...
It's trying to do the Diablo formula with a lot of ranged combat and cover mechanics, and I don't think that part works as well as they would like it to, because it's just a little clunky for me. That said, I'm playing the tank class, so I just stand in the open and shoot everybody, and that works pretty well for me. Or I pull out my power sword and just start swinging through mobs of enemies. So I'm enjoying it. I wouldn't say that it's a great game, but it's got kind of that fun, mindless hack and slash gameplay that, you know, Diablo has. It's got a few like little hitches in the engine where just suddenly it gets really slow for no apparent reason, and then it catches back up. So I think they've still got some work to do on the technical side, but I've been reading the Inquisitor books from the Warhammer universe, so like it's been a perfect game for me lately, just from that standpoint. I've also been playing the newly released on Xbox Minion Masters, which is a free-to-play game where you have a set of cards. Each card is a different minion, and you can play them onto a play field, and they sort of auto-target, auto-attack, and you're trying to destroy the enemy's little castle. Very similar to Battle Islands and some of the other kind of free-to-play games. Very grindy, but I enjoy it because it's just kind of a fun, mindless, like, pop in, throw down some cards, have a few battles. kind of game, and the price is right at free. So,
yep.
Finally, my son saw Generation Zero on my library and wanted to play it because he saw the giant robots and thought they looked cool. And so I've ended up playing Generation Zero with a couple of the kids. You know, he has fun kind of identifying the monsters. You can use your binoculars and you can get a skill, a perk that like lets you know what their weaknesses are. And so he did that, and I went with like lock picking and some other skills. But it's, you know, got some neat stuff around. It's definitely a little clunky. It's kind of a little repetitive, but I think it was only $40 when it came out, and you know, we're having fun with it, so that's the important thing. I think that's it for me.
Right on.
Well, time to talk about what's new in tag, and one of the biggest changes that recently happened is we have some new champions. We have some champions who are continuing on, and we have a couple champions who have retired from that role. Our own Hoptimus and our guest host from last episode, Sith, are stepping down as champion, but they have some new Masons that are filling in those roles quite well already. We have Fireman Batista as the new Xbox champion, and we also have Simple.Tan, who was formerly Captain Toy. Is that how you say it? Toy?
I believe so.
Okay. Is now the new PC champion. So they've been both already rocking and rolling and doing what they do. And Batista's really taking on game night and trying to make it a good deal. And it's awesome to see that. So Studknuckle and Calvin retain their roles as Nintendo and PlayStation champions, respectively. I don't know. Well, it's pretty cool to see that they're doing that and holding on to those roles and keeping the torch lit. So congratulations, Batista and Simple Tan.
Yep. I really like the way that this community can go through changes, and it's like everybody just keeps rolling with it. There's no big drama. It's just same old.
I mean,
same
the
old.
Drama is I can't recognize Hop's name anymore if it's not Gold.
That is hard, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was a little getting used to.
I was just so excited that Hop, as champion, you got to retire undefeated. I think that's such an accomplishment. Yeah, I assume that's what happened anyway.
Well, but there was a talk, you know, they asked, they're like, hey, we've been thinking about, you know, maybe we get some new champions. But I think Sith and I have both been on council multiple times, and then champions, I think we were both like, yeah, we're good. Let somebody else have it. Like, we like serving the community, but to a point, sometimes it's fun to just be part of the community. And I think
totally
for me now, working on the podcast with you guys, that's kind of my focus, and it allows me to not worry so much about game night and let's give it to somebody else that's excited about it. So I was excited that Fireman wanted to take the role.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So that was cool.
Well, can we ask you to speak about game night one more time, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I will always. Game night is our designated night for on Monday nights, where mostly it's the Xbox community, because that seems to be the most popular one, where we get together and we suggest some games and we play them. Generally, it's a popular game, a Games with Gold game, or a game that's on Game Pass. This last Monday was actually really fun. Anthem brought up Gears 4, and the few times we've done Gears 4, it's gone really well, and we got some people out of the woodwork. Tam joined us.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, and it was really smooth. Everything
that
went
game
really
runs
smoothly.
Like butter. It runs so good. Scotty came out of retirement. Scotty and I gave Sith a ton of crap, but it was so much fun. And then We did a bunch of customs, which was awesome. So some for people that never played the game, like Tam and Are You Dead, they kind of got their feet wet a little bit. And then when they quit, we went into some ranked games, and we had a lot of fun. We had a little too much fun. There was that game. I love Gears, but man, that game that gets my blood going. Like Scotty and I both just start cussing and getting crazy, and yeah, It's a good time. So that was last Monday. I think we might do it again this Monday. There's talk of it. I don't know.
I'm hoping so.
I won't be here this coming Monday, so you guys enjoy without me.
How could you?
Yeah, going on a little vacay. I'll be here Thursday night for Halo night, and then I'll be off the grid for a while.
Hey.
Okay, how long is a while?
6 days.
Okay.
She's already jonesing. Jesus. Deal with that.
So Fenrir, Hop alluded to our next community update, but could you elaborate on what is Halo Night?
Oh, I think that Tam needs to be the one that talks about Halo Night.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, you mean teabagging while you karaoke night?
Perfect definition.
Because that's basically what it is for me. I can't say enough about Halo Night. I routinely try to get like the people I work with, you know, like, do you have an Xbox? Do you have Halo? Do you have this? You know, you should join us. You would love it. But so I'm still pumping it. But yep, Thursday night, I think it's been about probably like, I'm going to say I've been getting on at like 6 my time. So like 9 Eastern is when people seem to really start getting on. It's a lot of fun. It's low key. No pressure. You know, we have some badasses on there, and I'm not a badass, and I never feel, you know, like a complete scrub, even though I know I am a complete scrub. So if you haven't checked it out, you really should, because, I mean, both of the games are on Game Pass, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, there's no excuse. Get your butt on there. If you have an Xbox, go get them.
I'm going to pause the show really quickly and just describe the first night that Tam joined us for Halo Night.
Oh, no.
She shows up, and
oh my gosh, I remember that.
Supposedly her microphone wasn't working that night.
It really wasn't, and I didn't realize it was my controller. But
and yeah. She either placed first or second behind Anthem almost every single match. And if you don't know, Anthem is top tier Halo. This lady over here calling herself a scrub is full of it.
I promise I'm not just trying to play around and be like, oh, look, guys, I went negative 12 again. Oh, my gosh.
No, you know, like you said, it's a humble group. We're not out there, like, shooting people down because you're not doing well. We're not saying you can't ever come back again. I mean, me and Melified routinely sit at the bottom of the leaderboards, and they still let us come back. So yes.
That's me. Yep.
But
I was just happy I won my first round, not match, my first round of sumo. And I pushed Sithy off, and it made my night, so.
That was a good sumo night.
Did you get one of those trademark Sithy? What?
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and watch the clip that Anthem put up.
But, yeah, Thursday nights, Halo nights. What are you guys reading there, Mel?
So, in the book club channel, we are reading Breakfast of Champions for June by Kurt Vonnegut, one of his seminal works and a really, really great one. I don't want to say too much and spoil anything, but it is absolutely worth a good read if you enjoy good books and science fiction. We also are going to be discussing last month's book, which was the Legion of Bob. So you're welcome, if you've read that, to come on in and chat with us about it. So hey guys, guess what? Tag exists. And we don't charge anything for membership. We don't, you know, make you get your horse armor DLC. We don't do any of that. The way that we pay our bills is when people use the Amazon affiliate links on theadultgamer.com and in the Discord. If you post an Amazon link, you'll see a little bot. He'll post after you with the special version of the link that gives a little kickback to Tag. It's a referral link. It's a program from Amazon. It doesn't change your price, but it does help out the site pay the bills. So please, 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 especially if you're going to be doing Father's Day shopping, maybe you're buying something big. Dad's getting an Xbox One X for Father's Day, or maybe you have somebody who's graduating and you're going to get them an Xbox One X, because I assume that's what everyone should be getting for any event.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Then please, please, please think to use that affiliate link. It really helps us out. So, and it pays for this podcast, in fact. So we always appreciate it. So Fenrir, it is time for the deep dive.
What are we talking about? We're talking about E3. And we're talking about what you want from E3. Like, I implore you to reach deep down into the crevices of your soul to...
I'm already there, bro. I'm already there.
All right. I want you to find that game, that announcement that you really want. And we're going to rotate through, so you don't have to go through a whole bunch of things. But Tam, why don't you give us something you really want from E3 this...
The biggest thing that I want, and you can probably already guess it, all you who know me, is the new Halo Infinite. I need something that's going to make me sit there in front of my TV and just not want to leave. I'm not going to say anything more risque than that. I'm just going to let that go. But yeah, that's what I don't want a 10-second blurb about the game. I don't want 10 seconds of Master Chief on the screen. Just...
You want gameplay footage.
Ugh, and I want like a good, solid, I don't know, throw something at me. 2 minutes. Just something. I need more than what they've been given. I'm pretty friggin' hyped, especially with them bringing back the split screen, because I think I mentioned this last time too, is that, removing the split screen pretty much killed Halo for me and my husband. I mean, I still play, but so yay, I'm super excited about that. But
all right, Mel, what are you excited for?
Well, we kind of touched on this earlier, but I travel quite a bit for work. I carry around an Xbox One X in a laptop suitcase thing.
You're so fancy.
It's about 20 pounds, let me tell you, and it can't go in check bags, so I have to carry it on, which means I have to fight with everybody and their brother for overhead bin space. I would love to have xCloud be affordable and functional for me so that I could play my games on the road without having to carry around an entire Xbox with me. That would be huge. And just, I was mentioning earlier, I haven't been able to play the new ESO because the patch is too big for me to download here at the hotel. So that problem would go away with xCloud. So I'm really, really hoping that this will be huge and be coming soon and be all the things that we've been talking about.
That would be lovely.
Hop, what do you want?
Well, like Tam, I'm dying to see Halo ever since that first little snippet. Well, let's be honest, they could have showed anything Halo related. It's just more Halo. I love Halo. I want to see that. I am starting to feel a little bit of love for Gears 5. The one thing I'd like to see, though, is I'd like to see them bring the PvP back to the style of Gears 3, which I'm probably in the minority of. I think Sith and Scotty are with me on this, but not much to the rest of the world is. We liked having the assault rifles that actually had stopping power. Like, it tactically made more sense, even though it slowed down the shotgun rushers, but that to me made more sense. Anyway, if Gears 5 brought back a little bit of the gunplay from Gears 3, I would be excited. But I'm also excited for Gears 5. I'm excited if Microsoft reveals the next generation console, like what it can do, like if there's any visuals, if there's a picture of what it looks like, if there's any sort of hint on pricing, it may be too early. My other sort of bonus, and this is like a long, like, fantasy dream, only because I am so picky with things. I'm excited because there's rumors of Nintendo announcing Metroid Prime 4. Another rumor is they're going to announce a Metroid Prime Trilogy port to the Nintendo Switch. But what puts a big kibosh on all that for me is I do not like the Nintendo Switch controllers. The ones that come with the system, the Joy-Cons, I don't even like them when they're connected to that middle thing. It's just all so tiny. I have giant hands. I'm sorry. So if they come out with some sort of home Switch only, that it's not portable, it just hooks to the TV and it comes with a Pro controller, I would be really excited for that. That's my icing on the cake sort of thing. I don't expect that to happen at all. It's just like a off the charts random wish list. Ooh, also, I mean, speaking, if we're going to go that crazy, since we're on the subject of these mini retro consoles, if I could get a PC Engine / Turbo Duo mini console that came with all the great RPGs, Lords of Thunder, and Castlevania X Rondo of Blood, I'd be excited for that too. All right, I'm going to turn it over to, what, you, Fen, you last?
Well, I was just going to say, my big wish would be that the new Xbox console not only gets named and it gets a release window for the spring of next of 2020, and also with it dropping in the spring of 2020 would be Halo. So,
oh, that's a launch title for sure. That has to be. That's happening, man. Whenever it comes out, that's a launch title. Yeah. And whenever that comes out, it's in my hands. Mm-hmm. So
save my pennies now.
Yeah, so me too. I've already got a fun already.
Oh yeah, I am ready to go for that. So I kind of hope. I mean, they may not do necessarily a release date or a release.
They'll probably drop a window
price, but I hope it's spring. Like that may be early, but the Switch dropped in the spring, and it seems to be doing fine. I mean, or like it was winter time. It was like February, didn't it? I don't know. I just think that it would be really awesome if it came out in the spring so I could get it, have all summer to play with it and pet it and stare at it and be really excited for it. So that's my big, like, over the top wish. I have a couple other like wishes for two certain games I'd love to see, but I'll let Mel go with his next wish.
Sure. So one thing I might have mentioned this like very early on in the podcast, but one thing I have always been frustrated by is there are games that are almost appropriate for my kids to play with me. But for whatever reason, they're rated M. For example, Halo 1 through 4, the Master Chief Collection, all the games are rated M. I could not begin to guess why. There's really nothing super objectionable in there, to my recollection. But what I would love to see is a system where I can set the maximum allowable content for my kids' accounts and have the game adjust to that. You know, some games have had settings where they can turn off gore or turn off the bad language, things like that, but it's been kind of hit or miss, and it hasn't really been tied into the parental controls on the system. And so I'd love to see the game industry kind of tackle that. There's no reason why game developers couldn't, you know, make a teen version and an M version of most of these games. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of a wish listy thing. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. I haven't heard any rumblings about it, but gosh, I sure would love to see it actually happen.
That would be definitely a unique thing. I couldn't imagine the legality of all that, but it sounds like a novel idea that seems like it could work very well. Tam, what are you thinking?
Well, about the only other thing that, you know, wouldn't be just completely obvious to everybody else, is the Final Fantasy VII remake that we've been hearing about for like half a decade now. There's been a hint that we might be hearing something during E3, so I'm really hoping so, because this would be like the reason Tammy buys a PS4. So
it is coming to Xbox, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Well, then screw you. Yeah, I don't need one. All right, but yeah, that's what I'm hoping, is that they're finally gonna drop it, and it's not, you know, another 5 years down the road, because I don't know if I got another 5 years to keep myself interested in that one. So, but I am hoping, because I would really enjoy playing that one again.
I'm just trying to verify if it's coming to Xbox, because I don't want to be that guy that tells you something wrong.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Don't get my hopes up.
They re-released all of the back catalog Final Fantasy games for Xbox recently.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure, and I'm pretty sure that 7, the remaster was going to also, or remake, was also going to hit Xbox.
That would be fantastic and smart on their part.
I think that it's coming to Xbox and the Switch, but it's coming at a later date and time than the PlayStation.
Cool. I can wait rather than, you know, dropping that much change on another console that, you know, I don't really need.
Right. I hear you. I don't need a second console, but if they come out with that Switch that's a home-only version with a Pro Controller, I may end up with one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Man, if I got a second console, you will never see me again. My wife would murder me.
All right, so Fenrir, what else are you hoping for from you?
All right, so my other two things that I'm, the two games I'm really excited for, one, I really hope Ubisoft at least teases it or they say something about it, but a new Splinter Cell game. It's the whole reason why the Xbox like hooked for me was Splinter Cell on the original Xbox.
That was a dope game.
Yeah. And then even the next
Mech Assault.
Ooh, that would be good. That would
Chrome
be.
Hounds.
That might be a little too far reach. I think Microsoft digging into their vault of first party things that they could do. Mech Assault, I think, is. I mean, I'm not saying that your wish is not wrong, but the odds of your wish are way lower than Mech Assault.
No, because they sold the rights to all the FASA stuff. They sold FASA,
but so they don't. Who know has who, it?
Some nameless company. Well, so they don't own MechWarrior.
Well, why don't you just shit on my pizza while you're at it?
Well. That's what I'm saying, because From Software owns Chrome Hounds, so they could reasonably do a remake or something. But
shit,
a mech game. Like, we can agree, we can come together and agree on a mech game. I think is what I'm gonna go with.
A mech type game, or I can go back to my Splinter Cell because that was pretty fantastic. Only with Michael Ironside as Sam Fisher. The new guy didn't do that good of a job.
There's rumors. I'm seeing rumors on the web that they will reveal a new Mech Assault at E3.
Oh, God.
There's always rumors for everything leading up to E3, though.
It's hey, true. Tam. All right. If you see a sudden shadow.
Oh, boy.
She would see it first, too, because she's just north of me. Yeah.
Truth.
Anyways, and then the last one is the game that Hop has yet to play, the sequel, Ori the Will-O-the-Wisp, I hope drops. Not only do they mention it at E3, but they drop it within at least a week or day of. That'd be pretty dope. Because I loved Ori, and I can't wait to get my hand on this, on Will-O-the-Wisp, because Moon Studios has... Oh, if you don't know the story about Moon Studios, look it up. They're a group of developers who are all over the world who have worked together to build a super awesome game. And it's a unique way that they've done it. And it is beautiful and it runs amazing. I can't imagine doing a project this detailed and artistic without being all in the same room as each other. So it's a really cool story about Moon Studios. Does anybody else have any wishes for E3?
My last one is just, for the love of God, please, more cross-play.
Yeah, I think that should be for sure.
Cosplay?
Did
you say cosplay?
No. There's plenty of cosplay. There's too much cosplay. We need more cross-gameplay.
Yes, I don't even mind buying a game twice if it's really good so I can play it on the Switch and on the Xbox. But what I don't want to do is play the same first 3 hours of the game twice. I want cross progression, and I want to be able to play with my friends who are on other systems. And we have the technology. It exists. We can do this. The games industry can do this. We just have to summon the
power. You sound like the beginning of the $6 million man.
That is my goal. Yes, absolutely. No, I mean, you know, we know this can happen. It's just a matter of willpower. So I really hope the industry can see the value and invest in this tech.
How about cosplay, crossplay?
Look, Tim, you're already on thin ice here, like really thin.
I love it.
Oh my gosh.
On there that is note, that Federer. Rumor. Wait. Yeah, just because I got to throw more Borderlands.
All right.
There is that rumor that we're going to get a Borderlands 2 DLC dropped at E3 that bridges the story between Borderlands 2 and 3. So hopefully that comes true.
Yeah, so buddy.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I have one last wish. That they come out with a new Watch Dogs game. I can't think of what they should call it. It should take place in London, I think. I don't know.
Oh my God, Tam, hold on. Just because I'm browsing the interwebs, Borderlands: The Handsome Collection is on sale at Best Buy for $14.99.
Get out of town.
I think you need to go down the street and get a copy.
I work right next door to a Best Buy.
Well.
Latino.
And you have plenty of friends to play.
Do they let you in there when you have your red shirt and your brown pants on, though?
Yes. And I wear jeans right now because they let us know. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank God. Anyway, I digress. Thank you for the info.
All right.
Well, anything else before we call it an episode, guys? Girls? Folks?
I'm happy.
People? Humans? Androids.
I wouldn't go that far.
Giant radioactive lizard-like creatures from under the sea.
Stop talking about my brother like that.
Whoa, hey. All right, folks. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to my co-hosts and to our guest, Tam Zilla. It has been a pleasure.
Wait, can I do an outro?
You can, of course.
Whoa. There goes Game Yo, go, go, Tamzilla.
I don't even know how to follow that up. I was just going to say,
I don't think
I'm Mellified. You can find me on our Discord. You can find me on Xbox. You can find me at Mellified.com. That has all my gamer tags on it. How about you, Tam? Where can people find you?
On Discord, and it's Tamzilla, hashtag 1620. And Xbox Live is the Tamzilla. All one word, all lowercase, no weird symbols. No matter what these guys want me to do, it's just the Tamzilla.
Does anybody else know the number on their Discord?
No. I forgot that.
Off the top of my head, no.
I selected it myself, so I know it by heart now.
That's impressive.
Oh, wow.
You did the Nitro, huh?
Yes.
Big spender. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
Fenrir,
how about you? I'm Fenrir765. You can find me on Xbox or the Discord. Send me a DM if you want to ask a question for us to answer. It can be weird. It could be fun. It could be interesting. Whatever you want to ask, I'll pose it to the team or the hosts. And then...
if you want to be on the show, talk to Fenrir. He's also our talent coordinator.
Yeah, you know...
Talent.
Not many people have shown some interest lately, so we have plenty of open spots, so feel free
to
come on.
It's the summer.
And if you've already been on the show and you want to come back on, let me know. We'll gladly have you. If not, it'll just be the three of us dudes just chatting about whatever we chat about on any given episode. So thanks for listening, guys. And
What's up? Hoptimus here. You can find me at Tag Discord under Hop Solo. My number is hashtag 7735. Find me if you want to play some Elder Scrolls or Borderlands. You can also find me on Xbox Live. Hoptimus Maximus, all one word, except that the I is a number one. I'm available.
You know there's two I's in your name, right?
Max one. Well, the Maximus has the one in it. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes. That's bugged me like every episode, and I've never taken the initiative to say something.
Well, good. There we go. All better now. All better now.
Yeah. Think about all the friends that the Hoptimus Maximus with the one in both eyes has now because of the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty sure there's not one, but
there is in about 5 minutes when I go create a gamer.
Wow.
All right, friends. Thank you so much for listening. Good night.
Good night, not you, though.